So we're up to the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Dalid Amid Beis. And you have that Tzadi Dalid Amid Beis. Anotel Tziparnav Zubazu. Okay. So we'll see how far we can get. This parak ends on Daf Tzadi Vav. So that's my goal the next day or two to finish the perek. So Notel Tziparnav Zubazu. In other words, he holds one finger, the nail of one finger in and he presses it into the nail of another finger. So instead of using a knife or a scissors, any sort of a kli, he tries to do this with his hand, with the nail on his hand. So he's using the nail of his hand as a scissors. Obishinov, or he bites off his nail. Vechein, and here we'll add the word hatolesh. He rips off sa'aro with his hand, instead of again cutting the hair off its head with the scissors. He uses his hand. V'chein sfamo, or his mustache. V'chein skono, or his beard. V'chein agodeles, if a person braids his hair, or maybe in this case a woman would braid her hair. V'chein akocheles, which is some sort of a dye that she puts over her eyes to beautify. V'chein apokeses, this is a way in which she combs out her hair, is the Mishnah records machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev, v'chachomim osrim mishum shvus. So Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that you are in violation of a chiyuv chatos, and it's considered a full-fledged malacha, whereas the chachomim say it's only a drabonah. Now, I have a note here that summarizes two different approaches to the case of pokeses. One of them is mitakenes sa'ara b'masreik obiyadeha. So she somehow improves her hair with either a comb or she uses her hands. Chelko l'tzad zeh v'chelko l'tzad acher. Like she spreads the hair, she makes a part in her hair. And he writes here in the name of the Rivash that Ein kavonetz Rashi l'srikas haseir mamish b'masreik. He doesn't mean that she actually takes a comb to comb out her hair. L'afradat hasero, to separate the hairs. Sharei b'srika zu vadai titlosh sear. If she's really combing her hair, I guess aggressively, then there's no question that she's going to rip out some hairs from her head, and that is a psik resha shel meleches gozes. V'tiyeh chayeves l'direi hakol. So again, if she's using a brush and she's combing her hair in such a way that it's inevitable for her to rip out some of the hairs, then everybody, even the chacham, would agree that that's called psik resha. And even though she didn't necessarily intend to rip off hairs, but since she knows it's going to happen, that would be meleches gozes, even according to chachamim. Furthermore, he says that pokeses is not a tolda of meleches gozes, but rather it's a tolda of meleches bone. Ella, but he says rather, kavones Rashi, litikun acher sha'ose b'masreik. This is a different kind of improvement that she's doing with a comb. Sha'achar shemasrekes sa'aro yofa, after she combs her hair thoroughly, he mosheches es hamasreik b'shemen, she dips the comb into oil, umaveres al saroseha, and she just wipes the oil over her hair, kidei lashkivan al harosh, to flatten out the hairs on her head, umistabkos hasaros zu bezu. And in that way, the hair attaches one onto the other. And she's not removing any hairs from her head through this process. And therefore, she would not be in violation of Melechas Gozes. But I guess since she's organizing the hairs on her head, that could be Melechas Bona. All right, let's just see the Gemara, and we'll move on from there. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Machlokes, the Machlokes in our Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, is in the case of Notel Est Siparnav Osaro Biyad, and that's when the Chacham say Yipotur. That's not considered the normal way you do it with your hand. Even during the week, you wouldn't do it that way. Aval Bekli, everybody would agree that if you or I would use a utensil, and in the bottom he says a utensil would be a misparayim, like for example, scissors, o keyotzi bazeh mikli hagiluach, other kinds of utensils that are used specifically for removing hair, is chayev. Then everybody would agree that is a told of gozes, pshita. Why do I need Rabbi Losser to teach me this? Because the Mishnah only says that the reason why he's potter according to the Chacham is because it was zubazu, no tel tzipan of zubazu. Obviously, he's not using a kli. Tanan, that's what it says in our Mishnah. Mao de tema, if not for Rabbi Elazar, I would have thought Rabbanan the kli nami patre, that in truth, you'd be potter even if you use the kli. Apparently, Meleches Gozes would not be applicable to the hair of a person. Maybe it applies to the wool off the back of a sheep, but not to the hair of a person. So Zubazu, so why does the Mishnah say that in this case, the hair was being, well, the nails were being removed by the hand? Lo diacha kocho de Rabbi Eliezer, to tell you how far Rabbi Eliezer would go, that even if he doesn't use a kli, but rather yad, he's still chayev kamash malon. That's what Rabbi Loza tells you, that's not true. It's not that the Chachamim would disagree, even in a case of kli. In a case of kli, they would agree. But the Mishnah wanted to tell you a chiddush that Rabbi Lazar, that Rabbi Eliezer went as far as being mechayev you achatos even biyad. So that's one statement of Rabbi Lazar. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, another statement of Rabbi Lazar, Machlokes li atzmo. When does Rabbi Eliezer say in our Mishnah that you're chayev, that's if you are removing your own nails or your own hair? And in such a case, Rabbi Eliezer says you can do it the right way, even without a kli, even with your yad. You're able to reach a certain level of expertise. But if somebody else is going to remove your hair or your nails in this way, by either ripping them out or biting them off, or putting his nails into your nails, is diriakol, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree in our Mishnah that he doesn't have the proficiency to do this perfectly without a kli vis-a-vis someone else's yad, someone else's nails, and therefore he would be potter. Pshita, once again, what would be the havmin to say otherwise, that for someone else it could be a violation of Meleches Gozes? After all, the Mishnah says, Hanotel Tziparnov, he takes off his own nails, Tanan, that's what it says in our Mishnah. Mao de Tema, I might think, Rabbi Eliezer lechavero nami mechayev, that perhaps Rabbi Eliezer would go as far as to say you could reach this proficiency even with regard to someone else's nails, and you could be chayev for removing his nails with a yad. Hadiktani tziparnov, even though it says his own nails, is lo diacha kochon derabbanan. That's only to teach you how far the rabbanan went to say that you're potur, to tell you that even though you're doing it to your own nails, and you yourself, you know, have a lifelong experience, a record, a track record of removing your nails one from the other, or biting them off in a proficient way, and that would make it kidarko bakach, and you might think that the Rabbanu would agree that in this case, just one second, that, right, that the Mishnah wanted to tell you that even though you might think that in this case you are proficient vis-a-vis your own body, your own nails, and therefore you would be chayef. So kamash malon, that's why the Mishnah told you tziparnov, to tell you the chiddush of the Rabbanon. But as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, it could be Rabbi Eliezer would hold that you're chayef even if you're doing it l'chavero. Kamash Malon, that's what Rabbi Loza wants to tell me, that Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Eliezer and Mishnah would be Moda in the case where you're doing this to someone else's Tziparnov, then it's not considered the normal way of doing it. Now, in the Masifti, he has a little bit of a summary, like an overview. He says, Hanoto Tziparnim, Tziparnaim Bekli, if he cuts off nails with a scissors, let's say. L'diri akol chayev. No, there's no debate about that. Bein li'atzmo, bein l'chavero. Whether he's cutting his own nails or someone else's nails. Biyad. If it's l'chavero, diri akol potur. If he's cutting off someone else's nails by hand without a scissors, then even Rabbi Eliezer, everybody would agree, you're potur. Li'atzmo. If he's using his hands to remove his own nails, is Rabbi Eliezer chayev? Ulechachomim potur. Then he has a note here. L'das atosu shaykh l'chayv al netila sarav etzor v'rak l'das Rabbi Yehuda v'l'das Rabbi Shimon ha-potur v'loch shen tzich l'gufa li'olam potur. Elim kain tzorach l'seyar u'l'tziparnayim. Okay, so now Tosa says that this Mishnah reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that Moloch Shen Tzich L'Guf is chayev. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, you would never be chayev for cutting off nails in Meleches Gozes, because Gozes means you shear off the wool and you want to use the wool. Here he has no interest in using the nails. He's not collecting nails. Here he's throwing it in the rubbish. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, certainly everybody would agree you're potter because of Moloch Shen Tzich L'Gufa. But our Mishnah is reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that Moloch Shen Tzich L'Guf is chayev. So even though he has no use for the nails, nevertheless he'd be chayev if it's darko b'kach, if he does it the normal way. V'chein sa'aro, v'chein sfama, v'chein skono. So if he pulls out the hairs from his head, from his mustache, from his beard, is once again, we have machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Tana, we learned in a brisa, hanotel melo pi hazug chayav. So there's a shear here, the minimum amount of netila sear, a minimum shear, and that's called melo pi hazug. I guess the amount of hair that would go into the scissors at one particular time. The kama, how much could fit in? Melopi azug, on Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim, two hairs would be enough. So that would mean that if you were to cut two hairs off, you'd be chayev for Meleches Gozes. So the Gemara asks, "Va'atan, you have a brisa that says ula karcha shtayim." Right? There's an isur in the Torah called karcha. The Torah says in Dvarim Perek Yudalid v'lo tasimu karcha b'nei nechem l'mes. Right? Back in the time, I guess the idol worshippers would express their grief and mourning over the loss of a relative by pulling hair out of their head. And the Torah says we're not allowed to imitate the goyim, a separate lav called karcha, which literally means to create a bald spot. And he's chayev for taking out hair above his the area between his two eyes, or he's not allowed to take off hair on his head as a form of mourning, as a form of grief. And the Braisa says that in order to violate this law of Karcha, of Lo Tosimu Karcha Beninechem, he would have to take off two hairs. And the implication is that with regard to the Isur Karcha, the Shir is that he was no-till Shtei Saros. And that's going to be the violation of Karcha. So that if that be the case, then it would seem that it's not the same Shir as Melo Piazuk. So the Braisa starts with the Shir for Meleches Gozes and identifies that Shir, that minimum amount, as Melo Piazuk. Then the Braisa says, as far as Karcha, it's two hairs. Apparently, these are two different Shirim. The Shir for Meleches Gozes on Shabbos is called Melo Piazuk, and the Shir for violation of Karcha is two Saros. So we still don't know how much hair do you have to remove on Shabbos in order to be chayev for Meleches Gozes? What exactly is the shear of Melo Piazuk? So Gemara answers, Ema v'chein l'karcha shtayim. That you should rewrite the Braisa by adding one word, the word v'chein, which means that the Braisa now is telling you exactly what is the shear of Melo Piazuk. And the Braisa, so to speak, kills two birds with one stone. It tells you that the same shear of Melo Piazuk that applies to Gozes on Shabbos, for the Chiyuv of Melech Shabbos, applies to the violation of Karcha and Shtayim. And it's two hairs. So now we come to the conclusion so far that the shear of Piazuk is Shtei Saros. Tanya Nami Hochi, and we'll bring a support text from a Braisa. Hanotel Melo Piazuk b'Shabbos Chayev, v'kama Melo Piazuk Shtayim. So the Braisa explicitly identifies Melo Piazuk as two hairs. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Achas. So this we don't have in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah only debates what happens if you pull out the hairs with your hands instead of using a scissors. But now we have another machlokes. Even when he cuts the hair with the scissors, how many hairs does he have to cut? According to Tanakama, the minimum is two hairs. And Rabbi Eliezer says he's chayev even for one single hair. Now, he writes here, V'ein tzorech sheyitol seir melo piazug kedei lechayv. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't need the shear of melo piazug, because we said that melo piazug in this price is the same as two saros. Apparently, Rabbi Eliezer says that as far as meleches gozes is concerned, there's a way that you could be chayv even if it's less than melo piazug. And that shear is not an absolute requirement. And why is that so? Umodim chachamim Rabbi Eliezer b'malaket levanos mitoch shchoros shafilu biachas chayev. So it means the following. There are scenarios in which one hair is very, very important. You know, you have a push and an urgency to remove one single hair. And that's a case where even the Chachomim agree to Rabbi Eliezer that we could drop the shear of Kimole Moli Piazug. Rabbi Eliezer took this one step further and he says anyone who wants to remove one hair, for whatever reason, apparently for him it's important to cut off that one hair, and therefore he's chayev. What's the case where even the Chachomim agree that objectively it's important to remove that one hair? And that's the case where he's removing white hairs. He wants to look like a young man, so he removes white hairs from his black hairs, so that he'll look more dark, more black. And the Chacham Amodet to Rabbi Eliezer that in such a case, it's chashuv, it's important for him, even if he removes one single hair, in this case, one white hair. And in the footnote here, he quotes the Bir Halacha, who says that, let's say he has many, many white hairs, would he be chayv for removing just one white hair? He's left with white. If it's only one white hair, which in the Gemara's language is called Levanos Mitoch Shchah, but it says Levanos. So I don't know. The Mishnah Brura in his Bir Halacha wonders about a case where he has more white hairs. Im uchayev al sa'ara on one hair shall likate, kevin shall kol ponim misyapa hu ktsas, right, he looks a little bit better by removing one white hair. Oh, maybe no. Lo hoil bili kuto. He didn't really accomplish much. He still got white hair left, and therefore he's patur. And the Mishnah Brura comes to the conclusion, lahachmir, that one should avoid such a situation of removing a hair that's white hair, because he's on the way, so to speak, to improving his presentation. Kevin shalik, so in order to appreciate the next line in the Bir Halacha, we have to read the next line in the Gemara. Gemara says, V'dover zaf b'chol asur, even during the weekday, we're not allowed to remove a white hair from amongst the black hairs. Shenemar, mishum shenemar lo yilbash gever simlas isha. That he's like imitating the actions of a woman who, in order to beautify herself, is very makpid to remove white hairs. Now, I don't know, you know, I'm thinking out loud, maybe today things have changed. I don't know if this would definitely be simlas isha. I mean, there's a whole industry, even for men, you know, to dye their hair black and so forth and so on. I don't know. I'm not sure. But in any event, so just to add another line in the Bir Halacha, he says, Keva le'inyan isa lo yilbash, asur b'malake tzara achas, afal pisha hishir harbe se'oros levanos. That the Isur of Lo Yilbash applies even if after he removes that one single hair, he still has a bunch of white hairs left. And since the Gemara makes an equation between Lo Yilbash in removing a hair, a white hair, and the case of Shabbos, therefore, ipso facto, it means that even one hair, one white hair, when he leaves more white hairs, is prohibited on Shabbos. That's the Bir Halacha. Now, honestly, I don't know that the Gemara is making an absolute equation, but that's his premise over here. Okay, so that's a discussion about a case where he removes one white hair, but he has lots of white hairs to go. Now, he says, "Isur la'ish le'saken atzmo b'tikune noi sha'isha regila b'hem." He shouldn't use methods of beautifying his body that are typical for women. And that's the case here of Malakei Shchoros Mitoch Levanos. Now he quotes a Chasdei David, Sheitochen Sha'af HaBraisa Shehuva B'Gemara is Sover Shehu Adin L'Shchoros Mitoch Levanos. Ah, in other words, we don't have Tanya Nami Hochi. Tanya Nami Hochi. This was a Brisa. So what's he saying here? Afa Brisa Shchoros Mitoch Levanos. Oh, I see. Here's an interesting case. What would be your gut feeling if he takes out black hairs amongst his white hairs? Maybe
I think he'd be fired.
Yeah, maybe he does. You know, it looks odd that he has two colors, so he wants to get. In this case, you know, he gave up. He gave up on the white hairs, so he wants to remove the black hairs.
I think he'd be fired.
Yeah, well, that's the Chasdei David. He says that Hu Adin, I think means that he'd be chayev if he takes out the shchoros amongst the levanos. But he says, when it says in the Brice of Adover Zeh, Af Bechol Otz Mishum Lo Yilbash, he said, B'malakei Shchoros Mitoch Levonos Ein Derech Noshin V'kach. Ah, this would not be a violation of Lo Yilbash, because women don't usually take out the black hairs. But if we let's go back to the Mishnah Brura that we saw before, that he's assuming there's an equation between the two, and if that be the case, then maybe on Shabbos, likewise, you would not be chayav for taking out the black hairs. But he says in the Tosefta, you won't find that extra addition. Right, the Chasdei Dovin is a super commentary on Tosefta, and the Tosefta doesn't add this equation between Gozeis and Shabbos and Lo Yilbash. So it could be that as far as Gozeis B'Shabbos is concerned, since he wants to get rid of the black hair, that would constitute Gozeis, despite the fact that on a weekday, this would be Mutter to remove the black hairs, and it would not constitute something that's Derech HaNoshim.
Right. So it would be Aser Shabbos, but it could be Mutter on a weekday.
Right. And now he quotes the Chazon Yecheska, which is another super commentary on the Tosefta that was written in our time. That's Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky. He lived a couple of feet from where I am. And he says, Atam shel gavi Shabbos osur af b'shchoros mitoch levonos, on Shabbos would be prohibited to take the black. Kevon de legavi Shabbos ein ha'isa toli v'derech noshim el bakpodo shel ha'odom atzmo. It doesn't depend upon the women. It depends upon what your purpose is, what your goal, what you want to get rid of. The Kevon shehikpid, since he's clearly trying very hard to get rid of the black hairs, is muchach, it seems quite clear, that for him it's very important to get rid of the black hair. The af bishchoros mitoch levonos, kevon shu makpid, the afilu al sara achas, in other words, he wants all his hairs to be the same color, so he wants to get rid of that one, single black hair that sticks out, or he offers another possibility, shirotza leheros, kizokin muflag, he wants to look even older than he is. People respect him because of his old age, like we had by Rav Los Ben Azariah, right? Harei kivem shim shana, is therefore, it would be also on Shabbos because of Kpeda, even if I grant you that he doesn't violate Lo Yilbash. Very interesting sugya here with, repercussions, not only on the week, not on Shabbos, but also on the weekday. Tanya, we have a brisa. And now we're talking back again about removing nails or taking off skin. Sometimes you have skin on your finger or cuticles that are loose, they're falling off. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, tziporen sheperish ruba, if his cuticle is already mostly off, or tzitzin sheperish ruban, he says here that tzitzin are ke'en ritzuos dakos, they're small strips of skin, ha-porshos me'or ha-etzba. Okay, it sounds very similar to what we said before. And anyway, is bayad mutter v'kli chayav chatos. Wow, this is like from one extreme to another. So if he wants to rip out this piece of skin that's hanging off, it's mostly off, then if he does it by hand, that's allowed l'chatchila. But if he does it with scissors or some other utensil that removes skin, then he's chayav chatos. So the Gemara asks, umi ika midi dibekli chayav chatos biyad mutal l'chatchila. Notice the rule of thumb is that whenever the Torah prohibits something with a malacha d'oraisa, when you use a kli, then the Rabbanan will say it's also even biyad. For example, in Borer, right, there are certain cases in which if you take a kli, or sieve, or whatever it might be, to remove the psoles, you chayv achatos for that. And if you do it by hand, then it's osur mirabanan. But we never found a case where we go from one extreme to the other, that the precondition for a chayv achatos is a kli. And if you don't use a kli, you do it biyad, then it's mutal achatchila. The rabbanan usually will make a gzera derabanan to prohibit it. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Kamar, Pershu Ruban Biyad Mutter. So he's adding a piece into the Brisa. Ubikli, if most of the skin is already off, it's already detached, and he removes it with a Kli, is Potter Avalosa. Here he violates a rabbinic Isur, because we're afraid that maybe tomorrow he'll remove skin that's not even Rubo Parshu. Now, Lo Pirshu Ruban, what would be the din if he taka removes skin that's a little bit loose, but it's not really loose, it's still basically primarily attached, is that it depends. By Yad, he's not allowed to do so, and that violates an isur d'rabbanan, potur avolosa. Bekli chayv chatos. So we have three categories over here. We have category number one, which is called Pirshu Ruban. And here, we're going to distinguish between the L'chatchila, a leniency to allow you to remove that Pirshu Ruban with your hand, as opposed to a Kli, which would be also L'chatchila, and that's called Potter Avol Osa. Then we have the case of, just 1 second, of low Pirshu Ruban, and here we're going to say the following, that if low Pirshu Ruban, then if you take a Kli and you cut off hair, skin, excuse me, then you violate a Chiyuv Chatas. And if, on the other hand, you remove it by hand, that's called Potter Avol Osur. He has a footnote here about Pirshu Ruban in the name of the Prima Godin, who is really one of the greatest minds of I don't know how long. He says that in Pirshu Ruban heim krovim li notek, now the skin is very close to being removed, v'lachein havi kiktlushim, according to the strict letter of the law, on a Doraisa level, it's considered as if it was already removed. Kevat shekvar enom yonkim min aguf. The skin is already not being sustained by the body. I guess there's no blood or oxygen, you know, that's being injected or to the cells of this piece of skin that's Pirshu Ruban. And then he writes, "For who adin tzitzin sheparshim b'shar makomas haguf." So you have this case of cuticles on his finger, but he says in general there are other skins anywhere in the body that have been poresh. And again, according to Prima Godim, since it's not yonkim and aguf anymore, therefore there's no violation of Tlisha. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Alocha ki Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which means that we're going to accept this principle of Pirshu Ruban, that you're allowed to remove it even l'chatchila, as long as you're doing it by hand. Omar Rabbi Bar Bachon, Omar Rabbi Yochanan v'hushe Pirshu klape mala, Umitzaros Oso. And I'm going to read, he says, Avol Pirshu Klape Mata Litzada Guf Oso Litlam. So apparently, if the skin is on its way out, and it's sticking in an upward direction, then that's going to cause him some discomfiture, and that's why we can allow the halacha of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that he's allowed to remove it by hand, even lechatchila. So let me just read the note over here, if I can find the place, of course. I got the wrong daf here, sorry. Give me just 1 minute, if you don't mind, hanging in there. Just trying to. Oh, maybe it's this one. I'm using another Gemara here, and we're talking about. Oh, he says the following: that the heter here is provided that the cuticles have been detached toward the top of the finger; they are disconnected, starting near the fingertip. Okay, towards the tip of the finger, and they're peeling back towards the base of the nail. Okay, that's interesting. I don't see in my case too many cuticles that fit that description, but okay. And he says in such a case, they cause him a significant amount of discomfort. If they are disconnected starting near the base of the nail, and appealing back towards the fingertip, then the Chachamim would not allow you this removal because there's no tsar, he says, or the tsar is minimum. That's what he says over here in this translation. Now let me just see if he adds anything here in the Masifta. Let me see. He says, Midivrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, Mashma, Shenechleku Olav, Rabbi Eliezer v'Chachamim. Interesting. The fact that he used the word Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel implies that the other Tanoim disagreed. Shel Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Avdel Ben Pirshu Ruban, Lo Pirshu Ruban, Vafilu Pirshu Ruban, Abiyad Chayv Chatas. Wow. That's a gigantic revolution. I don't know. I'm a little bit conservative. I don't know if I can buy into this. He's saying that according to the Tana of our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, in a case of removing this skin, he says that even if Pirshu Ruban, he's going to be Chayav Echatas, even if he takes it with his hand. And according to Chachamim, but nowhere will you find a shita that goes this far and will allow you biyad l'chatchila, except for this shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, that's one chiddush. Then he says, hagbolas klapi mala, this limitation that's only if it's going up, he agbola legabe tzitzim bilvada v'tziporen daisha pirsha ruban. If he has a nail that's mostly loose, v'hum it's tayer b'kach. I'm not exactly sure what he means by mitztayer. I guess he feels uncomfortable that he has a nail that's almost that's hanging on by the skin. He says kevin shenechlu aposkim b'tzitzin mal klapi mala. All right, fine. Let's go on. V'chein ha-godeles sa'aro, v'chein ha-kocheles einel, v'chein ha-pokeses, Rabbi Eliezer mechai v'chachom osrim mishum shvus. Okay. So now the Gemara tries to clarify. Godeles, kocheles, uposekes, mishumai mechaiva. What is the av malacha for which he's chayv in these three cases? Om Rabbi Ovin, Om Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Godeles mishum oreges. So this action of godeles is some sort of form of or similar to weaving. And he says here in the commentary, he says that it's a case of kolas es sa'ara. She braids her hair. And in the case of making threads for weaving, they braided the threads. Kocheles, mishum koseves. She takes this mikchol, you know, this particular applicator, you know, and she makes a round circle over the eye. And that's very similar to a person who is writing, a scribe who's writing a letter on a cloth, and he will circle the letter. Why would a person circle a letter? I'm not exactly sure. Maybe he wants to make a note of the fact he has to come back and fix up that letter. I'm not sure exactly. And then he has a kasha here from one of the achronim. He says, in Kosev, he's only chayv if he writes two osios. And here, when he does chol to the ayin, it seems that he'd be chayv even for one eye. So she makes a round circle around the eye, that's only one eye, why should that be a told of Kosev? And he doesn't answer that question. Pokeses, mishum tova. Like, tvia means when you make threads, and he writes here, based on Rashi, that mitakenes esara benetzbo seha, she's fixing up her hair with her fingers, mafrida saseros, and she separates hairs one from the other. Kishehen nichrocho zu bezu, because her hairs are entangled. And that is similar to meleches tviya, because I guess in the process of tviya, sometimes the threads get tangled, and when you separate them, that's a melech of tviya. So this is Rabbi Ovin. Omer Rabbonin kami de Rabbi Avo. And the rabbis, when they transmitted this analysis of Rabbi Ovin to Rabbi Avo, he wasn't happy about it. V'chiderech ariga b'kach? Are you telling me that this is the normal way that you do ariga? This is weaving? And here we're talking about a case of braiding the hair. Is that really similar enough to weaving, that you should be chaya for that? He says, Omnam klia seir tolush. He said, if you had hairs that were already detached from the body, and you wanted to braid them together, that could be a riga. But on the hair, on the body itself, that would not be a riga. Okay, v'chider k'siva b'kach? Is this the normal way of doing k'siva, where you make some sort of a circle around your eye? Ela, Amar Rabbi Avo, a substitute analysis of this Mishnah, and that is, L'didi mefarshali, I have the pshat in the Mishnah, Mine, and I receive this interpretation from Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Okay, here we turn to Daf Tzadi Heyom and Aleph. Kocheles Mishum Tzovas. Ah. Right, one of the 39 Melachas is dying. D-Y-E. And here she's dying her face, her skin. So instead of Kocheles Mishum Koseves, she's going to be violating Melachas Tzovea. Godeles upokeses mishum bone, because she's building her hair up. Okay, godeles upokeses mishum bone. Let's just see if he adds anything here. Just give me a second over here. He says, she who braids or fixes her hair is liable for building. So the Gemara immediately objects, v'chiderech binyan b'kach? Is this the normal way that you build something with your hair? In, yes. I have a raya that organizing your hair is a melach of bonet. Kididoresh Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. The Pasuk says in Breishis, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Hatzela. Hashem built the side that he had taken from the man into a woman. So what is this binyan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built? Melamed Shekilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lechava Veivia Eitzel Odo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu braided her hair and beautified her and brought it to Adam HaRishon. Shekein bekrachi ayam, and if you go to the cities on the sea, korin lekliosa bniosa, they call braiding a hair builder. That's what you call a person. So we see that godeles, which is braiding the hair, is considered building. Now what about pokeses? So pokeses, we said, might mean that she improves her hair. So according to Rashi's first explanation, she fixes her hair with a comb or with her fingers. I mean, we talked about, you know, dipping the comb into oil and flattening her hair. And we're going to say that the pasuk by Chava applies not just to braiding, but to any adjustments in the hair as a general rule. That's all included under Vayivan. Oh, here he has this case that we mentioned earlier, with the oil, and he says that that's called building. Now Rashi has the second explanation that pokeses is, oh, we didn't get to this yet, rouge, right? This is the reddening of the facial skin through the application and removal of dough. Okay, they used dough in those days. We'll say that from Chava, we're going to learn that Meleches Binyan is even a greater scope and includes any cosmetic improvement to the body. That's called building. Now he has a quote from the Emes LeYaakov. I don't have that safe. I think it's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He suggests that the application of rouge, whereby the color of the skin itself does not change. Okay, so maybe rouge would not constitute a Meleches Binyan. Binyan means you have to make a serious change. And then we had the possibility that in the case of Kocheles, that's called dying. He says that this is only a derabbanan. Wow, I didn't get that impression. He says the malach of dying, oh, he's talking about the Chachamim, right, who reject Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah. They hold that the malach of dying only applies to animal skin or to fabrics, but not to human skin. The Rabbanan prohibited because of it's similar to dying. Now that's very good. He says, Chazal maintained the malach of building does not apply midoraisa to human hair. Okay, that's why he doesn't have the cases of Godeles and Posekes as a violation of a chiyuv doraisa, because we're talking about human hair, and human hair is not binyan. The Rabbanan prohibited braiding and fixing of the hair because of the similarity to building. Well, that part is a little bit difficult. I mean, to say that that's, you know, gonna, you know, from that you're going to jump the gun and start building and construction, I find that a little bit of a stretch. In that sense, Rabbi Eliezer fits in better to this drasha that vayiven means that building the hair is also called binyan. And the Gemara, by the way, speaks elsewhere in the later parts of Shabbos about the procedure they used to do for babies. You know, newborn babies, very often, like, the bones are not yet in place, maybe because of the process of birth. And they used to have a certain kind of a procedure in which they could straighten out the bones. And the Gemara says that we're going to allow it because of health purposes, but otherwise there would be a meleches boneh when you restructure the bones. Because you see again from this pasuk that the meleches boneh even applies to the body of a human being. Yeah, that's interesting. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Godeles, Kocheles, Upokeses, Liatzma Ptura, Lechaverto Chayeves. Wow, this is just the opposite of everything we've said until now. Until now we said that, you know, what you do for your own body, you know, you're proficient, you're well experienced, that could be a malacha. But to do the same thing for someone else's body, you're not the expert on that. He was saying just punkfakeret, that Godeles, Kocheles, Pokeses, if you're doing it liatzma, then you're potter. But lechaverto, if you do it for someone else, then you become the great hairdresser and the great cosmetician, whatever the word is for cosmetics, and that you could do for someone else. But to do it for yourself, he says, a woman who styles her own hair or applies her own eye paint cannot do a proper job. You see, today we have mirrors and so forth and so on. She cannot see what she's doing. These acts qualify as building and dying only when she performs them for another woman, like Hashem did for Chava. And this is a braisa of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and that reflects the sheet of Rav Elazar and our Mishnah, that there could be a possibility of violating a doraisa. The Chacham say that even if you would beautify another woman's hair or dye her face, that would only be a violation of a derabbanan. V'cheinoye Rav Shimon ben Elazar omir mishum Rabbi Eliezer, isha lo savir srak al panel mipnei shetzovas. I guess it means that it's only a violation of a derabbanan when she puts the rouge on her own face, and again, she's not able to do it in a perfect way because she doesn't have a mirror, She doesn't see herself, but it's Asur min Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, a cholev, milking a cow. V'amachabetz, this has to do with the process of making cheese. What they used to do is they used to separate the milk from the whey. I think you spell that W-H-E-Y, if I'm not mistaken. So they had a process by which they would separate the heavy milk from the little liquidy, watery, milky substance. And what he does is he puts it into something called a wicker, and then the liquidy substance drips out. And then he has megaben, that in the process of making cheese, there are smaller pieces of cheese which he has to combine and attach one to the other till he forms a block of cheese. In all these cases, kigrogeres, he'll be chayav if he violate. We don't know which malachas he's chayav for, that's going to be the next Gemara, but he's chayav if he does it with a shear of grogeres. That's a minimum volume in order to be mechayev for Melechah Shabbos in these cases. Okay. Now the Braisa continues, and we have Mechabed HaMerabetz Ve'arode Chalos Dvash. So the first case is someone who sweeps his house. In those days the floors were made of dirt, not like we have today, you know, we have stone, marble, etc. Hamarabetz is someone who sprinkles water over his floor in order to moisten his floor so that the dust does not rise up into the air. Verode chalos dvash. So we're talking about honeycombs, and he removes loaves of honey from the honeycombs. No, I'm sorry. He removes the honeycombs, I should say, from a beehive. Yishogeg b'shabes chayev chatas. He's a biyontiv lo karbon. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer v'chachom amrim echad zeh v'echad zeh ni'alol mishum shvus. So once again, we have a similar kind of machlokas to that which we have in our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer is talking about the possibility of violating a chiyuv d'oraisa, and if it's on Shabbos, he has to bring a chatas. On yontiv, he would get malchus if he did it deliberately. And the Chacham say, in the worst case scenario, you're violating only a Shvus d'Rabbanan. And this does not constitute a violation of a D'Oraisa. Now, in the note here, he mentions Rashi to Psochim, that the Chachamim argue against Rabbi Eliezer only in the last three cases, which would be sweeping and putting the water on the dust, or removing the honeycombs from a beehive. However, in the first three cases, that was milking, or straining the liquid whey, or forming cheese, those are d'oraisa, even according to the Chachamim. So in that sense, this price has to be read in two parts. There's the Reisha and the Seifa. The Reisha is Cholev, Mechabetz, and Megabein. And there is Chayev D'Oraisa, even according to Rabbi Chachomim, there was no debate about it. And the Seifa, which records Machlok Shin Rabbi Eliezer and Chachomim, that refers to Merabetz, Mechabed Merabetz, and Oroda Chalos Dvash. So that's the sheet of Rashi, not here, but in Mesechta Psochim. Achman Bar Guria Ikla Linarda. So Rav Nachman is on his way to Narda. Boy Minei, and they asked him the following question. Cholei Mishumai Mechayev. Okay. What is the Molocha of Cholev? That's a toughie, right? I mean, what Molocha is he doing by milking a cow? Unless maybe he smoothens the udders or something like that. Omolei Mishum Cholev. So that means that according to Rav Nachman, Cholev is an Av Malacha. I mean, I don't know how he's going to get the number 39 if he adds Cholev. That jacks you up to 40. Mechabetz Mishumai Mechayev Amalei Mishum Mechabetz. Separate Malacha called Mechabetz. Megabin Mishumai Mechayev Amalei Mishum Megabin. All right, we could have guessed that one. Amalei. So the Chachamim said to Rav Nachman, Rabach Kotil Kani Biagma Havi. Your teacher was a reed cutter in a swamp. Okay, this must be some sort of a symbolic way of telling him that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Asa Shoyal Be Midrasha. So let's see if we can get the names over here. So there's Rav Nachman Bar Gurio comes to Narda. They ask him, what is the chiyuv of these malachos? And he said what he said. And then they responded by saying, your teacher was a reed cutter in a swamp. Now let me just see in the Hebrew translation. Sometimes the Hebrew translation is a lot better than the English translation. He says the following. Chotech konim min ha'agam. Velo yoda lefarish Mishnah. I don't get it. Who is the Rebbe over here? One second. Yud Ches. Lechora im lo yoda Rav Nachman Bar Gurio es tshuvas l'shei losam. Hayel lo m'sheni yodea. Umadua heshiv lahem ken. No, I still don't exactly have it, but somehow... I guess there was a profession of someone who was sent to the marshlands and he would cut down the reeds. And such a person, I guess, is considered an ignoramus as far as halacha is concerned. He doesn't know how to interpret a Mishnah. So maybe they were talking to him like in third person. I don't know. Asa Shoyal Be Midrasha. So I guess at that point, Rav Nachman realized that he really didn't have the answer to that question. So he went to the Beis Medrash and he asked these questions. Amrulei, they told him, Cholev chayev mishum afarek, mechabetz chayev mishum borer, umegaben chayev mishum bone. And just back to Rav Nachman Bar Gurio, I guess the assumption of the Chacham was that Rav Nachman must be saying over what he heard from his Rebbe, and they told him that his Rebbe was very good at cutting reeds in a swamp, but he didn't know bupkis about how to interpret a Mishnah or a Braisa. So he comes to the Beis Medrash, and they tell him that Cholev is Mishum Mefarek. So that means that milking a cow is a tolda of Dash, right? Mefarek is a tolda of Dash. He's extracting, and he's taking, in the Av Malach, he takes the grain out of its outer covering, and here, the milk, when he extracts the milk from the ducks and the animals utters, he's also removing something from its covering. And then mechabetz, he strains the coagulated milk into it to remove the whey. That's called borer. And again, the assumption is that he's doing this with some sort of a kli. Megabet is chayav mishum bone, and that means when he gathers together the various pieces of the cheese and attaches them one to the other, that's a tolda of Meleches Bona. So here in the Masifti, as a note, he says that the Gemara back on Daf Ayin Hey had recorded Machlok Shin Rabbi Yudin Chachomim about whether Dish or Dash applies to things other than Gidule Karka. And here, in the case of Cholev, we're not talking about Gidule Karka. So therefore, this brisa that we're learning now about Rav Nachman and the way he got an answer to the Beis Medrash, and Yechayev and Cholev Mishum Afarek, as it told of Dash, must be reflecting the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Yesh Disha Shalo Begduli Kak, like in the case of Tzad Chilozan Upotzo, when he extracts the dye from the Chilozan. And the Chilozan is not Geduli Karka. However, other Rishonim, like the Ramban and the Rashba, understand that a behema, an animal, is considered gedulei karka because it eats from the karka. And therefore, everybody would agree that there's disha min haTorah with regard to a behema. Mikevin shenizones v'gdila u'gdela min haKarka. She grows from the karka. So that's an interesting thing. Yesh mefarchim, there's another shita, that when the Gemara mentions Mefarik here, it's not referring to Mefarik Mishum Dash, but Mefarik as a tolda of Kotzer. And Rashi quotes such an opinion, but he rejects it. because he says that kotzer only applies something that's mechubar, and the cholov itself is a liquid that goes through the udders, but it's not mechubar to the dad. It's not mechubar to the udders. Mufkad v'atzur b'hem kitfua v'kasheh. You compare it to a kernel inside its chaff, but you cannot compare it to kotzer. There's no kotzer over here when you're severing two different, you know, something from something else. Now, in terms of Meleches Borer here, in the case of Mechabetz, he says, Breras ochel mitoch psoles muteres. He says, if you're taking out the good part from the bad part, that's permissible. I mean, nasis biyad, as long as you're not using a special kli. So Mechabetz might be a case where he violates the Doraisa because he's using a kli. And not only that, number one, nasis habrer al yidei kli amisanenes, and that's borer. Number two, it could be that it's liachar zman, that he doesn't have any intention of drinking the milk immediately. It's not lialter. So he has two negatives here. Number one, it's liachil liachar zman rather than lialter. Number two, it's bekli and not fiyat. Okay, the Gemara now explains the case of Rode Chalos Dvash. Okay, so we're talking about someone who removes loaves of honey from a beehive. And we saw a braisa mechabed v'amarabetz v'arode chalos dvash. So we said that means he sweeps the floor or he adds the water to, you know, flatten so it shouldn't dust and so forth. It should be dust. Is shogeg b'shavas chayv chatas. Hezid b'yontif lo karapoyim divri Rabbi Eliezer. Omer Rabbi Eliezer, my time Omer Rabbi Lazar, my time of the Rabbi Eliezer. Why is he considered the case of Rode Chalos Dvash as a Chiv Chatos? And the answer is because my time, it's Mechubel Akarka. And a case of Tol, you violate Meleches Tolesh by removing something that's Mechubel Akarka. The Chsiv, Pasuk in Shmuel, it says, Vayitbol Osa Biyaras Hadvash. Okay, Vayitbol Osa Biyaras Hadvash, and he dipped it into the forest of honey. Okay, the Pasuk is describing how Yonasan Ben Shaul dipped his staff into some honey and ate it. And the verse refers to the honeycombs as a forest of honey. So the Gemara asks, Uma v'chima inyan ya'ar etzel dvash? What's the connection between honey and a forest? It should have said, Vayitvol osa bechalos hadvash. Why does it add yaros hadvash? Elomacha ma ya'ar hatol shmena b'shabes chayv chatos af chalos dvash harode mimenu b'shabes chayov chat. So it's a meleches tolesh, which in the case of Rode Chalos Dvash is derived from the pasuk that equates it with Yar. Just like in Yar, there's a chalos of an Isur tolesh dorais that is chayov chat. So too, we consider this as something that's mechubar lekark. A memar shra zilcha b'mechuza. So the Gemara tells us a story about a Meimar that he was matir sprinkling the floors onto the dust, sprinkling water onto the floors to lay the dust in Mechuzah, in a city called Mechuzah Omar, and he explained himself, Taima my Omar Rabbanon, why did Rabbanon say you're not allowed to lay the dust on Shabbos, Dilma Osi Lashvuye Gumos? He might come to level out holes in the ground, which be a told of Meleches Bone. But Hocha Leka Gumos. In Mechuzah, our floors are made of stone, like our floors today. And therefore there's no Gumos. There's no possibility that he's going to fill in holes or flatten holes. And there's no Chashash in Meleches Binyan. Another story. Rava Tosfa, okay, this was Rava who came from Tosfa. He says, Ashkeche found Ravina to come itstar mehavle. He was in distress from the dusty air. The Amrile, according to a different version, Mark Shisha Bray the Rava. It wasn't Rava, but it was Kshisha Bray the Rava. Ashkechele Rav Ashi. It wasn't Ravina, but it was Rav Ashi. To come its tire mehavla. And there was distress from the dusty air. The dust was rising and polluting the air in the house. Omar Le, so he said to him, Lo Sovra La Mar La Hadisanya. Isn't it true what we learned in a brisa? Rotzel le rabbi as beso b'shabbos. If he wants to add this liquid to keep the dust down in his house, mevi areva malei amayim. He's allowed to bring a basin full of water. Rochets panav bezavizo, yada bezavizo, raglav bezavizo. He washes his face in one corner, his hands in a different corner, his feet in a third corner. But inside bais misravitz meilov. And I guess the water that spills out while he's washing his hands, his face, or his feet, that's going to cause a reboot, and the dust is going to be laid down. So why not employ this leniency, this method? Amale, you're right. You're 100% right. Live or die tie. I didn't even pay attention that that's the way that we can certainly do this. Now, the question I want to ask here is, why isn't this a Dover Shedim Eskaven with a Psik Reisha? He says, Lozacharti Zos. Oh, he says, just 1 second, he mentions Psik Reisha, but let's see if he's asking my question. So he quotes the Ramban. The Ramban said that they would allow this kind of haroma, this kind of subterfuge, because the whole Easter is because we're afraid that he might be mashveh gumos, that he might flatten out the if there are holes in the ground, and therefore they'd allow haroma. But enochinami, to be mati just based on eno miskaven, That would not hold water, because this Gemara holds like Rabbi Yehuda that Dov Shedim Eskaven is Asur. And furthermore, maybe there's a tzad to say that this might be Mashveh, this might be a secretion, even Rav Shimon would agree, but Kevin Shedim Ein HaMerabetz Korov Lovely De Ashvas Gumos, that it's really not a fear in this context, that he might come to flatten the gumos, so therefore they allowed this harom. And finally, va'idne desvirle ki Rabbi Shimon shari afil chatchila. Tana, I'm sorry. Isha chachama, right, a woman who's married to a Talmud Chacham, and she heard many things from her husband, or maybe her father's a Talmud Chacham, and in this case, she heard from her father that you could allow to do this reboots, you know, by pouring water here, there, and elsewhere over your hands, your face, and so forth. Is Marabetzes base of a Shabbos? She'll know how to do this, and she'll wash different things in this corner and that corner. Maybe she'll even wash her dishes in this corner and that corner. But the Gemara only allows Lerabetz in a case where he doesn't have Kavana L'shem reboots. No, it's he's washing his hands, etc., etc. And now the Gemara wants to say that in our time, you're allowed to do this even with a kavana l'shem reboots. Mirabetzes beisa b'shabbos. Now, let's let her wash the different kalim and let the water fall, and we're going to allow that harama. And why is that? Isn't it the sviralon kirabi shimon? So Rav Shimon holds the Dover Shedim Eskaven Shari Afilu Lechatchila, even though he has Kavana L'Rabbeitz, Shari Eino Eskaven L'Hadbik Ofer Beguma U'Lahashvos Eskarka Bais, because he doesn't have Kavana to make sure that the different parts of the Ofer will solidify and all the holes will be flattened, He's just trying to make sure that there's no dust that's coming off. So the person is not intentioning to level the holes in the floor, only to settle the dust. And here we have a heter of Dovashena Miskavin, because when the water comes down, there's no kavana to level out the holes, and therefore it will be mutter. So the machlokas between Rabbi Elezer and Chachamim is there a psik reisha here or not? And we're going to come to the conclusion that mutter, la locha mutter le rabbits. And why? Because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And it might seem to be that when, you know, there's no psik reisha here. What would Rabbi Shimon say if Rebutz would have a psik reisha, that he's flattening out the gumos, then it would seem that Rabbi Shimon would aser it. But he quotes here at Tosus that as far as machlok shin Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim, the Gemara is convinced that the halach is like the Chachamim, and it's not a psik reisha. And in a Dovah Shein Miskavim, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, and that's why L'Rabbeitz is mutter l'chatchila. So this leads us to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf, Sadihei, Amid Aleph HaTolesh Me'otzitz Nok.